Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Kings 18, 20 to 30 and 36 to 39. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20 to 30 and 36 to 39. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response, no one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying, until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." And the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." My theme for reflection is between two altars. When God calls us to stop limping. Between two altars, when God calls us to stop limping. During field work for my PhD studies in Cameroon, an interlocutor said to me, "Pastor, I am not indecisive. I just like to keep my options open, including with God." We laughed, but behind the humor lies a painful truth. Many of us live our faith like shoppers in a spiritual supermarket, one hand on God, the other on whatever promises faster comfort or easier control. Israel on Mount Carmel was no different. They were caught between two altars, unsure which God would deliver the life they desired. The political and spiritual crisis of Elijah's day was not simply bad leadership under Ahab and Jezebel. It was a deep crisis of divided loyalty. Israel had not rejected God outright. Rather, they had added Baal to the mix. They limped between two opinions, swaying between covenant and convenience. And perhaps we understand them more than we admit. Their world was religiously pluralistic, culturally complex, filled with competing promises. Baal looked powerful, popular, and politically useful. Yahweh felt demanding, invisible, slow. So they kept both altars intact. Elijah's challenge was simple. Choose. Faith cannot flourish with split allegiance. A heart divided is a heart weakened. And so on Carmel, God permits a dramatic contest. Not because he needed to prove himself, but because the people needed clarity. They had grown accustomed to evidence-based worship. They waited to see which deity would perform. Baal's prophets shouted, danced, danced, bled, and writhed in ritual frenzy. Their god remained tragically silent. The altar stood cold, the sky unresponsive. Elijah, alone and unarmed, simply rebuilt the Lord's altar with 12 stones, one for each tribe, and drenched the sacrifice with water to rule out trickery. His prayer was not theatrical but pastoral. Answer me, O Lord, so that these people may know that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back. And fire fell, not politely but powerfully, consuming everything, bull, wood, stones, water, and doubt. The people responded with a confession that echoed across generations. The Lord indeed is God. Yet their need for spectacle exposes a weakness still alive today. Too often we want a faith we can verify, a God who performs on cue, a spirituality that secures our desires with minimal sacrifice. We limp between truth and convenience, between faith and fear, between holiness and habit. Calbath once wrote, God does not give himself in pieces, neither should we. The God who answers by fire demands an undivided heart. But this story is not only about divine power, it is about divine patience. God's fire does more than win a contest. It turns wandering hearts back home. The God of Elijah is not merely a warrior, but a lover, one who refuses to lose his people to lesser gods. And that is good news for our fractured age. For every time we limp, hesitate, or half believe, God still calls us graciously, persistently, passionately back to himself. What does Carmel mean for us today? It reminds us that idols still exist, though they may no longer have temples. Power, success, nationalism, romance, security, control, these modern bills promise life but deliver emptiness. They demand our time, attention, and sacrifices, yet remain silent when we need help most. Meanwhile, God rebuilds broken altars in our hearts and asks only for honesty, trust, and surrender. And here is the comfort. The God who answered Elijah with fire still answers us with grace. He may not always display fire from heaven, but he ignites faith within us, burns away our pretenses, and draws us back to the altar of truth. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what areas of your life are you limping between two opinions, torn between God and competing loyalties? Number two, what silent bills have demanded your energy without giving life in return? And now our practical exercise. Identify one modern idol you have leaned toward: approval, wealth, fear, or comfort. Write it down and pray for the courage to take one practical step this week to release its influence. God of Elijah, turn our wandering hearts back to you. Break our divided loyalties, silence our false gods, and rekindle in us a faith that burns with truth and love. Answer us not with fire only, but with grace that transforms. The Lord indeed is God. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.